Welcome to the Lights, Camera, Rant Podcast. Your source for the latest on movies, TV shows, and video games. Get ready for ranting, raving, and reviewing. Here is your host, Lee.
Shit, me, I forgot to leave that on. God damn it. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Lights, Camera, Rant. As always, we've got a very special episode today. We're going to be diving into Invincible Season 2, the epic final, and I couldn't think of a better person to join me. Michael from the Star Wars podcast, how have you been, man?
Oh, man, I'm. It's always an honor to come on here whenever you ask me, especially when it's like, you know, we do a podcast about Marvel and Star Wars stuff, but like, honestly, at the end of the day, this is my jam. I love Invincible, so the fact that I get to talk about the finale here today with you is awesome. I can't wait.
Oh, sweet, man. Like, as I said to you before we started, I was like, I have to get Michael to do this episode because I heard on your episode last week how you were so excited for the final, you and Tommy, and I was like, there's no better person to ask. And it's been too long since you've been on it, too.
It has been a minute, and that's fine. You know, we've kind of taken a step back in podcasting a little bit, not by any means taking a break, but just more so like focusing on other things in our lives. And we will by no means, Star Wars will always be there, but we, you know, we've taken a step back, and it's been good. It's been, I think, healthy for both of us.
Oh, well, you know, there's as long as you're still around and you're still pumping out, it doesn't matter how long it takes. And from Tommy's got his whole, his new adventure, his new show that he's going into. Yep. Network.
Yep, he's killing it. He's killing it. He's joined a podcasting network. Forgot the name of it, but he's doing an animation podcast on there. I'll get it up here eventually. He'll kill me for this.
I forgot the name too. I only listened to your episode yesterday.
It is called Whirlwind Podcast. There we go. I got there eventually.
That's it. Yeah, he seemed really excited about kicking that off.
Yeah, I think you know, he's a big animation guy to begin with. I think that's his bread and butter. So he's focusing on like, I guess, the animation department over there. I guess they do a bunch of different television podcasts, but his thing's animation, so that's his expertise.
Well, right now with X-Men 97, Invincible, everything else at the moment, animation is king right now compared to live action movies. If this start this year is to prove anything.
Yeah. And you know, one of my most favorite superhero movies was animated. Big Spider-Verse guy, so you know, don't sleep on animation ever.
No, and I'm still gutted that where there's no release date for the third one. I'm like, come on. Just tell us that, you know, just tell us it's 2025. Don't be nothing.
Yeah, that's what's really concerning when there's just no information. Like, at least give us a, like, 2026 even. You know, give us something here.
Well, that's right. And what was it? It was March, wasn't it? March when it was meant to come out? Or May... Now it was meant to come out originally.
I feel like it was like maybe 2 weeks ago I saw something that was like the final installment of Spider-Verse was supposed to premiere on this date. So it was recent.
Like, Yeah. Yeah, that's nowhere in sight.
Nowhere in sight, unfortunately.
But look, it was very ballsy for them to say that it was going to take one more year to pump out this epic final. And I'm pretty sure I think you said it. If they do nail the third one in the same fashion as the second one and the first one, this will be up there with Back to the Future, Lord of the Rings, the original Star Wars trilogy. It will be a clear, phenomenal trilogy.
Yeah, look, and I know that might be a hot take for a lot of people, but for me, such a soft spot there. Like, I really love those first two movies, and yeah, if the third one delivers, man, move over Godfather, in my opinion. Because the Godfather, at least the Godfather, the third one sucks. You know, the first two are great, but the third one sucks. If all three are amazing, I mean, come on.
I know. And did you watch the I haven't caught it yet. Did you watch that short that popped up? The
Oh, I have not. No, I've definitely been meaning to though.
Yeah. I'm same here. And that seemed to be coming out of nowhere too. It was like, oh, there's a short coming out on YouTube. I was like, huh. Is that meant to be like, sorry, We're not releasing the movie, but here's a short.
Yeah, I think I saw it at work and I was like, oh, it's a short. I'll just watch it on my phone. I was like, no, I need to get home and watch this on the big screen. And I just haven't gotten around to it yet. So,
no, that's all good. But let's dive into Invincible, which after, as this episode is called, is it worth the wait? Was it worth the 2-year gap and the 6-month gap of a TV show, which felt like Netflix, even though it was on Amazon? Like, did it, how were you feeling going into this last episode before watching it?
So, full transparency, I did not realize this was the finale. And in fact, we might have timed our podcast a little sooner. I thought there were 2 more episodes. So I was actually really blindsided by this. I realized before I started watching it, but like, you know, when we did our podcast, I did not know that we were on the cusp of the finale. So honestly, yeah, it hurt. I'm not going to lie. And especially there's just so much in the air. And like you said, it's going to take us so long to get season 3. I think that's the hardest thing. And, you know, if my biggest complaint is I want more, they've done something right. Because a lot of times my biggest complaint was this was too much. So if they leave me wanting more, they've successfully hooked me in. I really enjoyed this finale. So it is what it is.
Yeah. And I couldn't agree with you more on the fact that it wanted me, at the end, I wanted more. And it just, I don't know if because the break, it just felt like half a season. Like, you got, here's 4 episodes, here's a break, here's another 4 episodes, and you're done. Like, it doesn't feel like a full season.
Yeah.
Because at least I think Netflix did like 6. You got 6 episodes, and you got 6 in the other half altogether. 4 seems too short.
Yeah. And I think that was the biggest problem, because even Marvel, they'll do 8 episode seasons, and that's fine and all, but it was just the weird split in the middle, I think, really, really threw me off.
Yeah, same. But at least I will give them that the 4th episode was just as brutal, as in you're like, oh my god, shit. And I keep thinking, I still remember when the first episode of season 1 dropped, and it was all over TikTok, it was all over Instagram of, where's this show come from, where the Superman's just, you know, murdered and massacred the Justice League, and it's just as brutal as the Boys. Where has this come from? And now, 2 years later, everyone's, where's season 3?
Yep. No, it's gonna be tough. It's gonna be a tough wait. But listen, I think they left like a lot of stuff. Like, I think we got enough resolution while there's still enough up in the air to really be excited about. I think there was a lot of interesting cliffhangers, a lot of things that were teased for the future that I just cannot wait for.
Neither can I. And here's probably going to be something a little bit controversial. Was this episode a better multi-universal take than Doctor Strange?
Oh. It's hard because... It's such a new genre, right? And it has become a genre, this like multiversal thing, whether it's Spider-Verse, Doctor Strange, Everything Everywhere All at Once, right? Like, it very much fits into that mold. This one does feel very different, though. It doesn't seem to rely on the gimmick too much. It was more so about the story. And that's one thing I really liked, especially when Mark is eventually abandoned wherever he was at. It was so much about, it wasn't about where he was. It was about where he was as a character, and he felt alone. He felt isolated. He was stuck there. And I think that's what I really liked about how they utilized the multiverse in this one. It was way more about assisting the story than it was like, you know, visual tricks like, oh, here's Mr. Fantastic, or here's a person with sausage fingers. Right. It was so much more catered to the characters.
Yeah. And to Angstrom, to actually his ability of opening these poles anywhere, and how annoying a villain who could do that would be trying to attack him.
Right. Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, he is not superhuman, right? We definitely see that later. But like, if he can just move you on a whim anywhere he wants, then nobody's a threat to this guy. So the fact that Mark actually got him is kind of impressive.
Well, that's True. And this episode, I got Spider-Man vibes and Superman vibes in the sense, besides the Viltrumites and Omni-Man, but like Superman vibes in the sense of like, what happens if you go too far? What happens if you lose control just that little bit? Like how much, which I think the arguments with Spider-Man as well is, how much are they actually holding back?
Right. And I think that was a big thing with Mark in this episode when he does finally commit his murder. It was like a big thing for him. And honestly, I had to think back. I was like, does Mark not kill? Like, because this is such a violent film. Like, certainly he's killed someone before, but he took this so hard. And it's interesting. I don't know. It's kind of the Batman in him, I guess.
Well, yeah, that's right. Which, funny enough, I love the cameos. I love the small cameos that we got. I was like, so your name is... Huh, that's a bit lazy. It was like, well, just wait till you hear about his car and his gadgets and everything else.
Literally. Yeah, no, it was interesting how they decided to do it, where they like, they straight up gave us like, you know, a knockoff Spider-Man and Doc Ock. And then they like only alluded to Batman. I was like, we could have seen Batman. What? I don't know. What can we call him? So there's no copyright violation, I guess.
Batcrawl.
Yeah. Something Bat-boy. Like that.
Yeah, something. Yeah. I love the Spider-Man cameo. I love it. As soon as I saw that, I was like, oh, and it's, I forgot his name, but he's actually, this guy who's voiced this version of Spider-Man has voiced multiple different Spider-Mans. I think he's done animation and I think he's from the video games as well.
So I think it was a mod. I doubt they already added it, but I saw somebody has already modded in this suit into the Spider-Man 2 video game. So,
of course they have. Yeah. Of course.
It's a cool suit.
I seen something very similar, and that was the frame for Spider-Verse.
when he's coming into it.
I was like, that's not going to take long, is it? That's going to take long. Oh, I also forgot to mention, if anyone was watching this podcast, I had to make sure to wear the right merch.
You did. Thank you so much. No, that's awesome.
For this episode, which you haven't, there will be a link to the Star Wars Podcast merch store, which is awesome. Excellent.
I have your shirt. I honestly, it's like I rushed here from dinner. I should have put it on. I'm sorry.
Don't worry. I'm just glad you're here.
Yes.
I'm happy that we only got these two cameos. I don't think we need anybody else. Nobody more. Like though, I knew there was going to probably be a multiverse kind of universe, but I didn't think, oh, I hope this person pops up. I hope this person pops up. Like I didn't go into having expectations like what you did with Doctor Strange. Right. Like I feel like these were great surprises that we got. Like Doctor Strange, we knew Mr. Fantastic, we knew Charles Xavier was going to rock up, and that was pretty much it, really.
Yeah, and again, I think this is, it's, you know, it's more of like Invincible doing their cheeky little jokes more than anything, where they very much, again, going back to the previous episode where they're making fun of animators, basically, it's always like very meta type jokes that they're able to fit in there. And you know, again, it's not like a cameo, it's just kind of a joke, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, that bit was so funny, and I was watching it going... All right, that's really clever. And it's right. You look at it and go, oh, now you go back and watch other animations. Like, you lazy prick. Like, you're just doing that. It's like, you're going to really dump me at a comic book convention. I was like, my partner would say the same thing.
And what's funny, I know it's not part of this episode, but Tommy mentioned on our podcast, apparently in the comic books, they did the same thing, but they were making fun of comic book writers instead of animators, which was funny.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. That's cool. I do know one thing, actually. I don't know if it will change. I do know the whole role with the Nyssa changed a little bit. I don't know if, like, Tommy told you what happens with her in Invincible?
I know very little about the future of Invincible, which I like it that way.
Well, as far as I know, I don't know, it might happen later if not, but as far as I know from the comics, Nyssa does come to Earth, like as did in the show, except she demands something a little bit different from him, as in an offspring, and that turns into its own battle. And then she still leaves Earth. She comes, yeah. arrives, no pun intended, and that's it.
Interesting. I mean, that might still be something that happens where they start to realize Mark is a lost cause and they need to go another way with it.
Yeah, could be. I was watching the episode. I was like, they're not really going to do this line right, are they? Oh, okay, they didn't, but it might be later. But something that you did also mention in your last episode in your show, and I fully agree with, couldn't agree with you more. This season, not in a bad way, but in a sense, like, let's throw every villain at the wall and then go in the opposite direction of every single one of those plot points.
Yeah.
So we've got Angstrom, who's the big main villain for this episode and for the show, who really hasn't technically appeared and has been a threat in the last five. He's just been at the end going, oh, I'm getting closer. Oh, I'm getting closer.
Exactly. And it's been so weird. And that's the thing. That's what, you know, we discussed that on our podcast. It's just like, I guess this is how it would actually work, right? Villains don't wait for another villain to be defeated before another one shows up, right? So it's kind of, there's a lot of realism to it in that way, which I appreciate. And it brings like a lot of surprises because honestly, I guess if you told me at the start of the season, I guess the season did start off with some Angstrom clues, but I did not think that this is where we were going with the finale. And yeah, I don't know. It worked for me.
Yeah, well, he did turn into a giant brain, just a big brain turd-looking thing, very briefly, really. But no, and that's what I was curious too, because like when he disappeared, I was like, "Oh, okay, I guess we're just gonna go in a different." Like, was that it? Like, was that him being the big bad, really briefly, and then we're going off with the squids, which is the squids still. Squids are still on the planet.
Yeah. That's the thing. It's like there's always a loose thread with these villains that any of them can come back at any point. And that's really terrifying, especially Angstrom. We saw how many variants there are and how they're constantly working on this stuff, how they have like eternal knowledge, right? Like it is like these things constantly loom over Mark. And I think it makes it for like a really exciting superhero show.
100%. And I do love the realism in this show. Is that what happens when you really do have, you know, a team, like you do have a young Avengers team. Like they are going to get their ass kicked. They are going to lose limbs. They are going to die. They are going to be eaten alive and crushed internally and then spat out from the head after it dies. That's a legit thing for anyone listening right now. It's a legit thing. And
that's my complaint with Marvel. It's like I feel like they don't kill enough people. We see them constantly in like the most outrageous situations, or like getting knocked down by like laser beams. I'm just like, how are you alive? Like it doesn't even, or even like when they tease death. So I'm like, I think there's some stuff in Guardians of the Galaxy. Not to get back to that. I'm just saying, like this show has the balls to go there, and I really appreciate it.
Well, they're going to shoot you around the back of the head, and somehow you're still going to be alive.
That's true. Good point.
And I saw a meme the other day. It was like a news report of Rex. It was like, man too angry to die, get shot in the back of the head. I was like,
too angry to die. I love that.
And you're right. And that's probably one of the things that Marvel is really missing right now is that weight of death. You know, that's one thing we had in Guardians of the Galaxy is that we knew this was going to be the last time together. So anyone who could die was on the table. But yes, nobody did die, but you didn't know going all the way through.
Right. Yeah. Which I guess that's another podcast, but I got my own feelings there.
No. Oh, come on. He didn't have his helmet. Star-Lord didn't have his helmet. His head should have popped.
Exactly. Drax should have died when he was shot. Like, I could go on and on.
In the chest.
Yeah.
Point blank. you're right, this is before. So after Mark kills Angstrom, spoiler alert, spoilers, left, right, and center, does kill him. We see that he does struggle very emotionally with he doesn't kill because he's dealing with the weight of he doesn't want to be like his dad at all. And that when he kills him, the screen is red. They're in a desert, and the only color you can see is red blood everywhere. And, you know, and Mark does say that line. He's like, oh, you can take it? You can take it, then I will do it. Which leads to a bloody mess. And a strange, very strange, which I wasn't expecting, 20 years in the future, Guardians of the Globe appearing.
This is awesome. I really loved this. I thought this was beautiful, seeing all these characters, and then obviously the stuff with Eve too. This was great.
Because I was thinking, I was like, how is he going to get off this planet? Like, is this the same Earth? Is this a different dimension? You know, how is this all going to situate? And interesting the fact that it was Rex in the suit. It was Rex in the armor suit. It wasn't Robot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that was interesting. He does look bulkier here, so you know, I was interested in that, but
a little bit thicker. Eve doesn't look like Eve looks like she hasn't aged too well.
Yeah, she looks rough. Was there any part of you that thought maybe they would take him back to their timeline?
I did. I thought, I was like, oh, maybe they will say, look, you're gonna come back with us. We'll find a way to get you back. And it will be a whole thing of just going into season three that he has to get back to his own time, which we have seen in multiple different things. But, you know, he gets back at the same time, Iron Man, something like that. But, yeah, I didn't think it was going to be that easy to be like, yeah, there you go. Catch ya.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they definitely solved it pretty easily. I did think that was my thought. I was like, oh my gosh, we're going to go back. Eve's older now. His mom's going to be older. His brother's going to be grown up. I really thought that's where we were going, but I mean, not that I'm disappointed. I was just,
yeah.
Didn't expect it.
It'll be different. Yeah. No, I like it. Speaking of Mark's brother, did you think at any point he was going to like do like the whole Gohan thing and turn on his powers and hit Angstrom somehow to help his brother?
No, I really didn't. I guess that didn't cross my mind, but it definitely could have happened here. I know it's jumping back a little bit, but Angstrom was horrible. Like, he's like grabbing Mark's brother by the leg and like hitting his head on the ground. I'm like, geez.
Throwing him, also going up to Mark's mom and going,
yeah.
Breaking her arm. Oh,
crazy.
And seeing the bone straight, even though it's animation, still just seeing that, I'm like, oh, nah. But no, because I thought, because it was two episodes ago with the nanny that was like, oh, he'll probably get his powers sooner than Mark. And I was like, okay, so he's probably going to do something at the end.
That's a good point.
Just cried.
Maybe that's his power.
Yeah. And Angstrom at one point, I thought he was going to, like, he had the portal, like, halfway across Mark's mom, and I thought, he's not going to open a portal halfway through and split her. And Mark's brother Oliver's only going to be the thing holding. I was like, they're not going to do that.
Yeah. I would hope. Then again, Marvel went there. They did that with one of Thanos's cronies. They cut his arm off and then with a portal. So
that's true. Whoa! Yeah. Wong, you invited to my wedding.
Yes.
And somehow that guy still came back too.
Yeah.
But no, and that was a real fight. And I love the struggle that he did have, that because just one of his variants actually did want to help Invincible. And I love the flashback. That's a good way to get cancelled. Flashback of seeing all the different Angstroms die and the different Invincibles. And how that whole scenario is what happens if Invincible was actually evil. He killed a puppy.
And it makes sense, like, you know, if he has experienced all that, or if he's aware of the dangers of Mark, yeah, he might very well come into the situation acting the way that he did. And I don't know, it did give, like, some, again, I don't know if abusing a baby is the right way of going about it, but it gave him, like, we kind of understood him a little bit more through that.
Yeah, I agree. And like, because we only got that little bit at the start with the, his version, and then we got the other version of the one that they just saved that was freaking out. Mm-hmm. But there was, what, 30, 50 of them? 50 of them that were all joining that giant machine. And yep. I think it was good seeing the different sides of Invincible, that it, the possibility that this is the one where he is the good guy and you're freaking out for no reason. Interesting that he went for Invincible. I'm like, didn't you want to know where Omni-Man was?
Yeah.
Like,
that's
they were both, like, they were both there trying to kill, well, killed you multiple times. So why wouldn't you wonder where Omni-Man is?
Maybe he doesn't think he can beat Omni-Man, and for good reason.
That's true. The dick Superman of the universe. Yep. Kate's alive.
Kate's alive.
Can't Did you see that coming?
No, not at all. I mean, again, even on our podcast, we recorded right before the finale, so it was not on my radar at all. I kind of eulogized Kate. I was like, Dibley Kate's gone. I loved her. I thought she was great. Now I look like an idiot. She's back. And
on this week's episode, I would like to retract my eulogy.
It makes sense, though. I thought that, you know, she, why wouldn't she keep a copy of herself somewhere?
Yeah, why wouldn't she keep at least one? And I was fully shocked that episode when she died. I was like, oh, there isn't another one that's going to just come in and do a Superman kick out of nowhere. Like, she's really dead.
Yeah, and that's the thing with Invincible. It happens so quick, and like your brain can't even really. Same thing with Mark's mom in this episode when her arm broke. Like, my brain couldn't even process what was happening. I was like, oh my God, she probably just lost her arm right there.
Yeah. Oh, that's gone. Well, you're right. Like, Kate, I forgot the female Ant-Man girl's name, and Rex, like, die, gets shot in the back of the head within, what, 15 minutes, if that?
Yeah, it happened so quick.
By the Lizard King.
Like, oh, yeah, that's... it's like some, like, just random villain. Like, it's not even, like, Omni-Man or just some random villain.
Yeah, that's it. Just wipes out the Guardians of Globes, which right now, that team is useless. There is, what, I forgot his name. Kate's love interest. He's gone off. Rex is back, sort of. Kate's back. Immortal, that's it. Yeah. Abraham Lincoln, who... How are you in my head? You're a douche. Leave me on. I love that scene where he's like, oh, my power doesn't work between two people. It only works for one.
No,
yeah, this team is quite shortened compared to when the season started.
Yeah, and I don't know. We need to up the team a little. Maybe bring Omni-Man back. Bring Alan the Alien back. You know, we need to buff up a little bit here. Yeah,
he's jacked ripped. Like anything.
And it's so funny that he's played by Seth Rogen of all people. I don't just.
I love that Seth Rogen. I'm like, that just suits the character, everything he's doing. And I'm pretty sure Seth Rogen's also one of the producers for the show to get this show off the ground, too.
That sounds right, yeah.
Goodbye, Amber. They're not going to do their love interest. Well, we see with Invincible, he does do the whole Spider-Man thing going on. We're going to watch you from afar. And as soon as you turn around, I'm out.
Yeah, it's interesting kind of following this love story throughout and kind of even, I guess, love triangle between him and Eve. Did you see that this is where it was going? Did were you always shipping the Eve and Invincible?
No, I know. Like, in the first season, I thought, oh, they're going to get together. Oh, they didn't. That's fine. But I didn't think they were going to go back in that angle altogether. I assumed that Invincible was going to come in at the end and go grab her and be like, nah, I'm doing this with everything going on. You're my center, blah, 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 blah. I love you. We can do this. I thought at least that was he was going to go in that direction. Not that, oh, you actually love Amber. you need to tell, sorry, you need to tell Eve that you love her, and you don't.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't know. I think I like it because I think that is, like, a lot more realistic than we get from superhero movies a lot, right? Like, of course your girlfriend isn't going to be happy with you leaving for months at a time to go on missions. Like, a relationship just can't work like that. Like, so, it, like, you know, I feel like, again, it's something that a lot of superhero movies don't address. And it is nice to, like, you know, explore that a little bit with Mark.
Yeah. I agree. And was it three? He pretty much goes out of space, comes back, goes out of space again, comes back, and then goes on this giant whirlwind battle in multiple different dimensions. And Amber says at the right line, saying, "How can I be mad at him and say you can't go save the world?"
Right. And that's part of her message is, like, I can't be here and you also save the world. And I think a big thing was probably a big, I guess the final nail in the coffin was where she was almost killed by Anissa. I think that probably didn't help, but yeah.
Yeah. I would say so when she's like, I can break your neck like a twig. Like, yeah, that was crazy. Yeah. I'd feel a bit uncomfortable too if that happened to me. But look, I guess Invincible and Eve will be the strand going into next season. Because I almost thought Eve was going to get back with Rex after him being shot in the back of the head. Shot in the back of the head. And his weird obsession with Dwight Decor magazines.
Yeah. I definitely didn't see this coming. So when we saw future Eve and she said that she actually loves Mark, that did take me by surprise. I figured, again, there was something there, but, like, I didn't realize how deep it was. And, yeah, I guess this is where we're going.
Hmm. Are you happy to ship these two?
It is what it is. Yeah, sure. I think Eve's a little overpowered. I think she needs to go eventually. she's like the Captain Marvel here. She can literally do anything.
That's true. She can do force fields. She can make random objects out of nothing. And she can be really strong. Anyway, well, she did lose to the squids very briefly.
Yeah, fair.
So,
yep.
But no, we do get Arnie Man at the very end, who for half this episode gets his ass whooped repeatedly by Craig Krog, which is voiced by Clancy Brown, who's done SpongeBob, he's done Lex Luthor, and he's done multiple Star Wars as well. And that's funny, because every time I hear his voice, all I think of is SpongeBob or Lex Luthor. I'm like, this is just weird.
Okay, yeah, this guy's in, he was in the boy, or he was in Gen V. That's where I first recognized him from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he really lit up in that show, too.
Yeah. Easy there, Mr. Ramp. Yep.
Because he's Mr. Krabs.
There you go. I did not know that. The more you know.
Because I remember watching the old cartoons and I'm like, wow, Lex Luthor, yeah, if he laughs, he sounds a lot like Mr. Krabs.
Yeah, that's funny.
But yeah, Arnie Man, I really like seeing what how he was interacting with Alan, because now Alan's on this prison ship, and he's talking to him, and he's saying, you know, let's join forces all together. You know, how can we do this? And still, Arnie Man is still reeling with all the damage he did on Earth, his son, his wife, and what he did on the bug planet. Like, he's still feeling that pain. He's ready for death altogether.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's like a lot of things come to him at this point. You know, I think there's a big question about, can Omni-Man be redeemed by whatever he does going forward? I don't know. But it is interesting. He does say he misses his wife.
Yeah.
I think it's a lost cause. I don't think she's getting back with him. But
something. No, I thought of two things when he said that. I was like, so you're just going to forget your second wife? Jam with your child and the bugs.
Yeah, that's the thing with every time he does something good, he says something really horrible. I'm just like, I don't know about you, dude. I don't know that he'll ever be fully redeemed. I don't know.
Look, I don't think he will be. Like, I do want to see him back on Earth with Mark's mom and have that interaction together. Like, I do really want to see that. Not that I think they get back together, but just him just talking to her and say, like, I'm sorry for everything. I'm not going to stay. I'm going to go. Because we know that for anyone who doesn't read the comics, we know this is going to be leading into the Coalition, going into the Viltrumites, which most likely I'd give money that the battle is going to happen on Earth at the same time.
Right. Yeah. And again, I don't know a lot about the comics. I don't know 100% where we're going, but if the big question is, can he redeem himself? I think the best way is like a suicide mission, honestly. Like, he's done so much bad at this point that, like, I feel like the only way is to give his life for Earth in a way. And I could totally see that's where we might be going.
Mm. Well, he was ready to kill himself. Remember, he was going to go into the giant black hole. Like, he was going to just end it all because he knew how much he hurt everybody.
Right.
So, yep. And I'm will admit, I did love his reaction. You know what? I think I missed my wife. Yeah. What?
Like, where'd that come from?
Yeah. And show. Nothing else. But also, with Alan, now I don't know, do you think Thaddeus inject him with Viltrumite DNA to get him so jacked? Because he did try and kill him.
Yeah, they must have, because that's the only way I see him standing a chance against other Viltrumites, you know? Yeah. I don't know how they would go about doing that, but they must have.
Had to. And that scene where he's like, oh, that didn't hurt as much. That's...
Yeah.
Oh, okay. With the
Nissa. I'm good.
Do you feel, which at the end, as a good quick mind, don't figure we got the squids. With this ending, is there anything you think they missed or you would have liked to seen with this ending? Like, any loose threads they wish they could have touched on? Or, and I also, side note, I feel so sorry for Donald. For Donald.
That's a good point, because we didn't get any Donald stuff in this episode, and that was a pretty clear theme throughout the season. I was trying to think, like, genuinely, yeah, there's a lot of questions I still have. There's still a lot I want to see, but obviously they need to leave some stuff on a cliffhanger, so I think it's fair. I think they wrapped things up as well as they could while also giving us enough to look forward to for season 3. But yeah, it was interesting. We didn't get any of the Donald stuff. There's a lot of buildup to that. Not any of that in this finale, so that is interesting.
Didn't get any of that, and the whole thing with him dying multiple times and coming back. I thought he would at least be with Cecil,
yeah,
talking to Mark. Which, do you trust Cecil? Every time I want to trust him, I'm like, no, I know you're meant to be like a Nick Fury type of character, but at the same time, I think, I think you really do care about Mark and Deb.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that he cares. Like, I guess I have to be clear about that. Like, I think his intentions are good. I think he is a good guy. I think he'll continue to be a good guy. But does he care about the people under him? I don't know. I think he's kind of selfish in that way. He wants to complete his goals, right? He wants to save the world. But is he, like, a toxic leader? Maybe. You know? I don't think he's a bad guy, but I think he's a flawed guy. I guess that's the way I can put it.
Mm. Well, that's true. Well, he does have the argument with Immortal. He does, demote Robot. In the last season, he demotes him. And then even with Donald, he's not really, like, sympathetic. He's like, there you go. You want to know what happened to you? There, I've just done the right thing by what you've told me to do.
Right. Yeah, and again, like, from his perspective, I feel like all of those decisions, you know, he's doing what's best for the good of the world, or, you know, the country, whatever. You know, I feel like he is really motivated by good, but it does tend to hurt a lot of people, including Donald and Mark and everybody else involved.
Altogether. But I do like how he still said to Mark, you're not your father. You're not, don't blame yourself. And he's lying, saying, not over analyzing, but like, if the good guys won and the bad guys are dead, then that's a good day.
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah. And also, you know, what do you say? Like, Mark wasn't sure if he was the good guy, and he goes, the good guys don't break people's arms. You know, it's like, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, it's true. So. Which I think the MCU could take a little bit from that. Yeah, the good guys won, the bad guys are dead. Stay dead.
Stay dead. That's all we want. Some steaks.
Yeah, just a little bit. What is going to season three? What is something major you want to see? What's something that you're like, I want to see that for frame for frame?
Yeah, see, again, not a big comic guy, but I've heard a lot about the Coalition. I hear there's going to be a much bigger team put together. I would really like, you know, I guess I would really like to see how they're going to start organizing that team, who's going to be on it, what does that fully entail? So, yeah, if we can kind of get like a, you know, instead of, I guess, technically, we have like the Guardians of Earth right now. I think we need the quote unquote Guardians of the Galaxy and, you know, get Alan Alien in there, get Omni-Man, Mark back together. I think Immortal. That would be an interesting season three for me.
Mm. I agree. I for really me, I just want to see Invincible just that hopefully that becomes more like the hero aspect, like he just trusts himself, becomes a hero, more confident in his abilities, becomes a hero like what Omni-Man was before he decided to murder everybody. I hope we get to see Omni-Man talking to Debbie, and I just want this season three to be the same strength in this season two, because I, as this episode started, is this worth the watch? Is it worth the wait? Hell yes. This show is refreshing. It's different. And yes, right now with X-Men 97, we're having a nice nostalgia trip down memory lane with all of that. And it's getting even better. But it's just nice seeing a show like this with real weight to it, like The Boys, which I think is actually, you know, saying that, The Boys is actually only about 2 months away too.
Oh boy, I'm ready. Yeah, I think that's the thing is, I think Marvel and, you know, James Gunn starting up his DC Universe, if they really want to take some notes, they better start looking at some of these Amazon Prime shows, because they're doing it the right way. They're making, you know, high stakes, very dramatic superhero storytelling in ways that we're really not used to. So they're kind of setting the standard for what it is. And if they don't take notes, then they're just going to drown under the pressure of these better shows.
Yeah, they will. Because we know there's going to be a Boys season 5. And, well, I don't know what's happening with Gen V season 2 at the moment. But
yeah,
that's
a tough subject.
Yeah. That's what as you said, that's why The Boys has done so well. Because it's, all right, Marvel and DC is doing this. Let's go in the complete opposite direction. And because, not oversaturated, but you know what I mean? Like, this is fresh. This is great. All the reviews I've seen for Invincible Season 2 have been so high for it, and say it's just as strong as Season 1, even better than Season 1.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess that's the question. Do you think that? Do you think Season 2 is better than Season 1? I think they were on the same plane, in my opinion.
I think they're on the same plane. However, I think regardless of how many seasons there are going to be, nothing will top the ending of season one.
That's nothing. What I'm
saying. Nothing will come close to that.
Not only just the ending, but also the beginning. And I want to kind of go back to this and like put our minds back into where we were when we first saw that first episode. Because from my perspective, somebody who didn't know a lot about the comics, didn't know a lot about the show, it was built up to kind of be like, you know, in the vein of some of those older superhero shows that we used to watch. It was very PG. It was about a young kid trying to get through college, right? Like, it was like discovering his powers. It seemed like such an innocent show. And then Omni-Man kills the Justice League or whatever they were called, right? And like, that completely like blew my mind. So I guess, again, yes, the finale was so good for season one, and the premiere for me also was so good. So Maybe season one is better, but I still love season two. I don't know. I can't even compare.
Yeah. Nah, they're good for different. They're good for different reasons. And like I was right there with you, man, watching that first episode. Yeah, and I didn't know this. I wasn't gonna watch it. I remember seeing the previews. I wasn't gonna like. Okay, it's just another superhero show. Why does it matter? And next thing I know, next day I'm like TikTok, just blew up of just that ending scene. And I was like, "What? What's this?" And it's like, "Oh, this is the show." I was like, "All right, I'll watch it." Fuck.
Yeah.
Fuck.
I will say I was always sold because if you see behind me, I have all of Robert Kirkman's Walking Dead books. I'm a huge Robert. I love The Walking Dead. I love what he created with that. So when I knew that he had a superhero comic, I'd never read it. But when I saw it was coming to live at, or I guess animation, I was all about it.
And boom. Yep. Look at that. Question. Live action movie.
No, I'm going to say no. I don't want that. No? Am I crazy? I don't think so. I think I just feel like we're doing so well with what we have now. There's just no reason for it. It would kind of be money hungry decision, in my opinion. Maybe when the show ends, give us 15, maybe 10 years and try to do it then. Now, I think we're good. The show's doing great. There's no reason to push it past what we have now, in my opinion. I feel like we could only probably sour our opinions by trying to do something different.
Like with that. No, to your point, I'd say if they're going to do it, wait until the show is done. Wait until that's done. Give it, after the final, maybe give it two, like 1 year or something, and then be like, yo, we're going to do an Invincible live action show. Now, speaking with about Invincible, right now, season three, Amazon has ordered season two and season three. There's no confirmation of season four. We know with a long break that they've shot season two and season three back to back. So for the rest of the year, maybe Amazon will do the same thing, that we will get season three at the end of November.
But, I would love that. I would love that. It's hard to imagine, but I would love that.
Yeah. So would I. And I like, look, if you do the 4-episode break, that's fine as long as you'd give me season three, because I think Roberts mentioned it. I forgot his name again. The lead actor of who plays Invincible, they've said again at the end, they've animation takes time, but we've listened to the complaints. We've shot season two and season three back to back, so now it's just making sure that they want to have a new season every single year.
Yeah, and I will say that's one thing that they did well. You know, I complained about like how, you know, we kind of got like the 4-episode half season, but if they can spread it out like that, because The Walking Dead did the same thing. They would do mid-season finales and basically you would have like a new half season every 4 months. Right. So if we only have to wait for maybe 6, maybe 8 months, as opposed to like 2 years, if they can kind of chop it up like that, I'm all for it. I think it works.
That'd be great. Netflix, yeah, as I said, Netflix thing, just happy to get that break. Just keep the ball rolling and don't make us wait another two years. Because it's like, it's so weird seeing a show. I keep thinking about it. You got a show that, like Wednesday, boom, smack out of the park. It's done so well. Everyone loved it. Where's season two? Oh,
Squid Game, too. That's one I'm waiting for.
Yeah. Well, that's right. Squid Game blew up, took everything. Where's season two? It's coming. It's coming. That's all I can tell you. which, you know, Squid Game, I think, is going to have to, not to the same degree. I think Squid Game is going to have to move over with Mr. Beast's Beast Games. He's making.
Well, listen, I'm a big reality TV guy, so I really like the Squid Games reality show. I don't know if you watch that, but I'm also Mr. Beast. You know, I think he's got the gift to make something like that. So I'm excited. Mm. I'll be watching.
Same. I'll be watching it. I remember when I saw Reddit, I'm like, I don't need to know anything more. take my money. I will, yeah. I will watch this. This is going to be weird, insane, yeah. And if anyone doesn't know, it has the biggest prize money in TV film history with a $5 million deal, which at the same time I was like, oh, that's pretty big. I'm like, oh, hang on. If you adjust inflation, yeah, like it doesn't really matter how big it is.
I'll quit my job if I get $5 million. Let's put it that way.
Done. I would too. I'd be like, yep, and here's my resignation straight away, which is interesting. That's on Amazon Prime too. It'll be, I think, premiering on YouTube and then YouTube and Amazon.
Yeah.
It's going to be going on too. But look, that's our wrap up for Invincible. And you have a great story about the brand new trailer that we got, which to me, I was out of nowhere, was Tales of the Empire, which it's looks insane.
It's a stupid story. I don't know if it's a great story. And I think it'll make people laugh. So that trailer dropped and I see, okay, Barriss Offee, right? Like, okay, I get it. And then we get Morgan Elsbeth. And I was like, what's going on here? I was like, well, and I ended up messaging a friend of the of your podcast, my podcast, the Galactic Corps, Andy. I messaged him. I was like, I'm really confused. Like, Tales of the Jedi, like, why are we focusing on Morgan Elsbeth? Was she a Jedi? Is that what they're trying to tell us? And he started like explaining it to me. And I was like, he's like, no, of course she's not a Jedi. I was like, yeah, but this is Tales of the Jedi. It took me like 6 hours to realize this is Tales of the Empire, not Tales of the Jedi. I was so confused. I was like, because even Andy was like, well, no, of course she's not a Jedi. I'm like, but then why does she have an arc in this show? And I felt so dumb. I felt really dumb. But yeah,
that's we just like, we just like look at going, I don't know what's wrong with this Tales of the Empire.
Yep, it hit me. It hit me. I felt so dumb. And he was like, he was trying so his best to explain it to me, not realizing that I didn't read the title fully.
So he's read the messages going, why is she in Tales of the Empire? What's this got to do with it?
Well, he even sent me like a really long message that kind of broke it down. He said Tales of the Empire, but also, you know, my dyslexic brain, I see Tales of, I'm like, okay, Tales of the Jedi. So I'm kind of skimming through. And yeah, it didn't click. It didn't click with me.
It's not a bad story. It's a good story. But this looks really good. And Tales of Jedi, I love Tales of Jedi when that came out. And this looks just, I think just the animation looks crisp. I'm very surprised with Morgan Elsbeth. I was like, oh, we're going to focus on her. Even though she cast it in Ahsoka. And pretty much all the major cast members, all the infamous voice actors are back for this.
Yeah. No, I think it's especially the Barriss Offee stuff, seeing all the Inquisitors together. That's something that we have never seen. And the fact they're all putting them like in a room together, I think that's super exciting. I love the concept of Barriss becoming an Inquisitor. Again, I don't know that I needed more of Morgan. So, you know, we'll see what they deliver on that.
Yeah, I was saying, I'm like, can't say I walked out of Ahsoka and gone, I really want to know her backstory. Like, I really want to know everything about her that I feel like we pretty much got everything from Ahsoka that we need to know about her and Mandalorian.
Yeah. And I do have some faith because, again, Tales of the Jedi was so good. I do trust that they have a good story to tell here. So I guess I'm just going to buckle up and wait for it.
And get ready to go. Which,
and they bring Grievous. Grievous is back, baby. I mean,
yes. What more can you ask for? Asmec is back.
Yes. Yep.
That was a good surprise when I was watching. I was like, ooh, actually, that's not too bad.
Yeah.
And of course, May the 4th, that's when it's dropping.
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait. I'll definitely be binging that all in one day for sure, celebrating May the 4th, which is a Saturday, thankfully, so I don't work.
That's even better. And yes, speaking of Mandalorian, we got the official release date for that just today.
I didn't see this. Tell me.
May, it's how excited you can be, but May 22nd, 2026.
Okay, 2026. I was like, May? Oh, okay, so like next year. Nope.
Oh. Yeah, May 2026. And for anyone who really does love it, in that same month, we're getting The Mandalorian and Toy Story 6.
Oh, there you go.
Insane.
That'll be interesting to have Mandalorian lead into that.
Yeah. And I can't remember if I've actually asked this before, but we got the announcement of the Mandalorian movie, the Rey movie, and the Old Republic movie, all three that got announced last year. Which one are you most excited for? I was talking about it the other day. I was like, out of all three, the Mandalorian movie is the one I'm most excited for.
So I think my opinion's a hot take. I think a lot of people have been really excited to see Old Republic stuff, right? Like, they can't wait to see the Dawn of the Jedi. I think that's something people have been asking for a long time. For me, it's the Rey movie. And here's why. I want the Rey movie because The Rise of Skywalker was such a disappointment to me. I just don't want that to be the end of Rey's story. I would really love to see what the future of the Star Wars universe looks like. And I think that's what they're going to give us with the Rey movie. So listen, I love the past. I love the Mando, but I'm really excited to see what they do with Rey going forward. So
that's all right. That's fair. And they do need to do a redemption of Rise of Skywalker.
And actually, not to toot my own horn, but I did kind of predict it on the Comic Boys podcast, where I said the best thing they can do going forward is, I called it Star Wars X. That was my theory. They need to make Star Wars Episode 10, the final movie. It's got Rey, it's got everything we want. Finn becomes a Jedi, maybe bring Rose back. Who cares? Whatever. But give a good conclusion to that. I thought that Star Wars X, as in Star Wars 10, was the best way to go. And that's basically what we're getting. So I'm all about it.
But they haven't called it Star Wars 10, have they? It's just the Rey movie.
Yeah. Yeah. So that'd be interesting.
Well, I don't think that has a release date. But I'm curious about that Old Republic movie as well. What did you think of the Acolyte trailer?
Oh, buddy, I cannot wait for that. That's my jam right there.
One of the most disliked trailers on YouTube.
I don't even know this. This is crazy.
Yep, no. Oh, shit. Well, I'll tell you. Yeah, don't know why. I feel like it's over hate for no apparent reason. But the Acolyte trailer has like 200,000 dislike.
You know what? It's always when there's women and people of color in the roles of Star Wars that people freak out. We got the same thing when Kenobi came out with Reva, right? Like, they always push back on this. I don't know why. I mean, obviously, it seems like, not to get too aggressive, it seems like straight up like sexism, in my opinion, but that seems to how this stuff typically goes. So I'm not necessarily shocked, but I did not know this.
Yeah. I can't bring it up right now, but it is, it's like had a ridiculous amount of dislikes. Oh, it's, I agree with you. I'm like, what? I don't understand why. I'm like, this is different. This looks new. We get new characters. And for the first time, which feels like ages, we actually have a bunch of Jedi, a collective of Jedi.
This is what we've been asking for as Star Wars fans. Like, we love Jedi. We want to see a bunch of them on screen. And we haven't had anything like this. I mean, even since Attack of the Clones, even like a live action, like we just haven't had anything of this scale in a very long time.
No. And I love the idea, which is why I'm really excited about this, is the idea of like how the Jedi first react with the Sith. They haven't seen in so much time.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's going to be interesting. I'm super excited for the Acolyte. That's crazy. And I look disliking it. That's crazy.
Yeah. I was like, why? It's not that bad of a trailer. So I don't get why. And that's June the 4th. So for 5 weeks, which I know on my podcast, we're pretty much gonna be the boys, Acolyte boys, Acolyte boys, Acolyte boys, for about five or 6 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
Because I think it's June the 4th for Acolyte, and then next the week after is when the boys kick in.
Oh, it's going to be a good summer, man. I can't wait.
Yeah. And I can't wait to hear when you guys drop your episode review for it, whether you guys do weekly or just do one big episode dump. I always look forward to it.
Yeah, we'll definitely be doing something. The question we'll probably end up doing kind of like we did with our animation recently, just kind of wrapping up, just kind of catching up on some things we haven't seen in a while. So that's probably how it's going to go over at Stark Wars.
That sounds good. And you're enjoying X-Men 97?
Yeah, as somebody who I didn't watch the original series, so like I kind of felt like I was coming in on the back foot a little bit, but no, it's really taken me by surprise. I didn't expect a whole lot from it, but it's really kind of blowing my mind, and like some of the things they're tackling with some like the high sci-fi concepts that they're throwing at me. And yeah, I'm all about X-Men 97, man. It's cool.
Yeah, I'm actually going back right now and I'm watching the old TV show because I've only seen a glimpse of it. And I agree with you. I watched the first two episodes like, oh, this is really good. Like, this isn't just a, you know, going down memory lane. Like, this is still really strong, and, you know, they're going dark, still with the same, you know, the hate, the bigotry. No one's safe. Look at Storm.
Yeah.
And then you get a whole massive Gene episode in 40 minutes. And then, I don't know if you watched this week's episode. This week's episode goes on a massive nostalgia trip as well, which I remember playing the old X-Men arcade machine back in when I was a kid going, oh, this is sick.
Yeah. Okay. I haven't watched it yet. I'm probably going to watch it right after this, so I'll dive right into it.
What good time.
Yeah.
Well, Michael, do you have any final words on Invincible or Acolyte or X-Men 97?
Man, I'm so excited for Invincible Season 3. Honestly, I'm going to have to delete it from my brain because I know it's going to be a while. And I just need to not think about it. I need to just go into like hibernation in my Invincible brain and just wait for Season 3 because I am stoked.
So am I, and I agree. I'm the same thing. I'll have my fingers crossed for November, but I'm not going to hold my breath. If it's going to be another 2 years, that's fine.
Yeah.
But look, man, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show, and thank you so much for coming on. It's always a great time, and I look forward to the next time we do this, which hopefully will be Acolyte.
Yeah, oh, I'm totally down. Whenever, man. Thank you again for having me, and I'll be here whenever you need me.
Sounds good. Well, for everybody, thank you very much for tuning in and listening in. And as always, until next time, happy ranting.
Thanks for listening to Lights, Camera, Rant. If you like the show, don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. While you're at it, leave us a rating and review, and be sure to tell your friends. Until next time, happy ranting.